Get ready for the Girls on Games podcast, your weekly dose of news, reviews, and everything video games. Always served with a good helping of hype and just a pinch of salt. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I am your host for this show. This is episode number 238, and this week, we look back at the year that was 2019. It is our annual year in review show. But before we get into that, I want to introduce you to the friendly voices around this digital table. Catherine, how's it going?
I'm on vacay. Everything is amazing.
Woo-hoo!
Always vacation time.
Vacation, yep. Vacation. Allie, how's it going?
Everything's good over here on my end.
Yeah. Simon, what's up?
Vacation as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm also on vacation. I don't want to feel left out.
Yeah, we're all on vacation now.
Can't
yeah.
complain. 2 weeks off. It'll be fantastic.
Yep. 2 weeks to play video games, eat, drink, and be merry. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because it's vacation, it also means we have time to record two episodes
there
in a row.
There we go. Don't spoil the surprise.
Come on. They know how this works. No. We do it every year.
That's true.
All right. Before we get into the crew check-in, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean, all the good places where podcasts can be found. Additionally, if you would like to acquire some GOG merch, and by the time you hear this, there's probably Boxing Day sales going on, go to designbyhumans.com/shop/girlsongames.
You can buy boxers on Boxing Day.
That's convenient.
That's like the perfect setup.
Boxers that come in a box on Boxing Day.
There you go. With the Girls on Games box logo.
Done. Oh my God, that's real.
Yo, I'm getting Girls on Games boxers.
Do it.
I need to log in to make sure it's an option so that we can
turn it on. Turn it on.
Do it.
Do it.
There you go.
Do it.
Also, if you'd like to give us a little tip, buy us a coffee, support the podcast. You can do so by going to ko-fi.com/girlsongames. That's ko-fi.com/girlsongames. All right, my friends. We're going to do a quick check-in because it has been a week since we last chatted. We won't be doing the crew check-in in the next episode because it makes no sense. But right now, I kind of want to know what you guys have been at. I mean, there's been some, like, rundown to the end of the year, you know, like finishing up the stuff at work, holiday parties, all that jazz. Catherine, what have you been up to?
Oh, not much. Most of the craziness was last week.
True.
And then the craziness is next week. So right now I'm just starting my holiday baking. I make truffles every year for everybody because I don't accept gifts and I don't give gifts. So now I just kind of like give snacks.
You feed people.
Which is a very good
That's way. A pretty darn good gift. And I'm very sad. I am no longer in Montreal and I cannot partake in the truffles. They are very good truffles to the point where Catherine gives them to me and Michael, but Michael gets none.
Yeah, I used to show up at your at the New Year's Eve party at your place with a bag of truffles, and they would disappear somewhere where only you knew it where
in
it was.
In the bedroom, in her dressing
room. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's being sneaky.
There's also something that's really cool at Ubisoft is they partnered with a meat farm. So a small, humane in...
So Twitch, I'm sorry.
What?
Twitch, it's a meat farm. All you see in there is meat. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm done.
I didn't get that reference.
I didn't get that either.
Doesn't matter.
I did, almost like when you talk about a bar being a being a meat market.
Meat market.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh,
it's like a sausage fest?
Yeah. No, well.
Both. Kind of both.
Yeah.
But
oh, both the thigh shrimp and others.
Yeah.
Oh,
mystery meat.
God,
Jesus.
Okay.
All right, keep going, Catherine. Let's get out of this hole.
Too early for this.
So my office partnered with this farm to get ethical meat. So small, They're just a small farm, and they make small batches of meat that is, like, way better than what you get in grocery stores. Mm. So for my brother, I stocked up on bacon for him, because their bacon is the best shit ever.
Nice.
So that's what I'm going to do. Just show up with truffles, bacon for my brother.
I mean, what else can you want in life but truffles and bacon?
Exactly. I shouldn't have made bacon truffles. Fuck.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Even do that? Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You make candied bacon, and then you mix it in with the ganache and then you roll them
Simon,
in cocoa powder.
You didn't make it to my house that time that the guys from Epic Mealtime came over and brought candied bacon for my birthday.
I was there, but I left early.
Missed them. Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing next year. I'm going to make a batch without bacon for my mom because she can't eat meat. And then I'll make some candied bacon. Thank you, Simon. Thank you.
That's
save some for me.
Yeah, of course. I'll save some. I'll have some for you guys when you come over for Numenera.
You can mail me some.
Allie, how about you? What have you been up to this week?
Oh, not too much. Went to go see a Star Wars. That was about it. I don't have Christmas parties because I work remotely. So if I did have a Christmas party, it would pretty much just be me drinking alone, and that's sad.
They should Skype you or something so that you can, like, pretend to be there with them.
So, I'm going to be that weirdo that's, like, zooming around on the iPad on a stick while they're all out partying?
Oh, my God,
on
a robot.
You up on the drone. No, on a drone that you can control yourself and then just fly around the party.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That would be just...
Future is now.
I can see the headlines. Out of control drone knocks 32 unconscious at Montreal restaurant.
And then like you just see the
entire video game studio rendered incapacitated for the holidays. Wait staff included.
Especially but, if you brilliant. Drink while you're doing it.
Exactly. Oh no, it wouldn't end well. But so I don't have holiday parties, so I got to skip that part. But I did go to see a Star Wars, and of course I'm not going to discuss it because it's still very early on. Mm-hmm. We made the choice to go see it at 1 o'clock in the morning in an attempt to beat the crowds.
That didn't happen?
There were some empty seats, but I mean, I think those belonged to people that fell asleep before they made it to the movie. there wasn't really much of a difference. I have something I need to bring up.
Oh.
So, I'm not a very patient person.
We know that by now.
I don't know if you guys have gleaned that
really?
From, like, 238 episodes of this podcast.
Not
of them. But, yeah, the woman beside me at one point started doing this.
Was she crying? Was it emotional?
Well, so that was my first, because I mean, I cry on the drop of a dime, especially when it comes to things that are you know, near and dear to my heart. And so I thought, oh, she's getting emotional. And I was like, oh, you know, because I was getting emotional and I was like, oh. And so I looked over kind of like on the DL. I wasn't weird about it or anything. And she wasn't crying. So I was like, oh, okay. Maybe she's got a cold. And but she just kept doing it. And she just kept doing it. And she just kept doing it. And what happened was this chain of events that set off that I was not entirely prepared for. Because I couldn't remember what the word was for what she was doing.
Sniffling?
Yeah, I couldn't remember sniffling. I was like, what is she doing? Snorting? No, that's not sneezing. No, she's not sneezing. And for, I kid you not, for the, like, final 5 minutes of the movie, I literally could think of nothing else but what this word was for what this woman was doing right beside me. I was so distracted.
Wow.
I was so entirely distracted. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, should I give her a Kleenex? Like, should I give her a napkin? I have both. They're clean. They're new. Is she going to know they're new? Is she going to be like, who the hell is this weirdo trying to give me a napkin in the theater? Does she even know she's sniffling? Like, I was in the throes of, like, a giant, like, I don't know. I don't even know what to call
conundrum.
It. Yeah, like, it was an issue, and I didn't know how to fix it.
And Allie, so, I don't think you should go watch movies at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Anyways, long story short, as soon as we left the theater, and as I was waiting for my husband to finish in the bathroom, I remembered the word sniffling, and I felt immediately much better.
Good.
But yeah, good. I can't.
Do you remember how the movie ended?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, I do remember, but now it's going to be tainted with the...
Oh, no. That's all you're going to hear now every time you watch a Star Wars.
Every single time. And it started much earlier than the 5 minutes. The 5 minutes were just the culmination of an hour of that.
Jesus.
Anyways, in summary, bring Kleenex when you go see movies and don't be scared to use them. Thank you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Allie, yes. and do you give the latest Star Wars a thumbs up, thumbs down, in the middle?
Oh God. Okay. So, I'm going to make something very clear.
Okay.
I don't care what anyone thinks.
Okay.
My enjoyment level was very high. Oh,
good.
Perfect.
That's pretty much, I don't want to get into any further details.
Okay.
But yes, I enjoyed it.
Then cool.
Good.
And I mentioned pre-show, I don't know how I feel about Adam Driver sexually. And I've come to terms with that. There you go. There's my review.
There's your hot take.
Awesome. I like that. That's the best Star Wars review I've heard yet.
And also, Oscar Isaac is not allowed to wear anything but Indiana Jones clothing for the rest of his
okay.
life.
Okay. Okay.
That's
perfect.
That's all he's allowed to wear.
Great. We'll have to have our conversations about it after we all see the movie in our spoiler chat on Discord. Small plug there. Discord.me/girlsongames.
Yeah.
Simon, what have you been at?
It's funny because I have two stories that are exactly one about Kat and one about Allie. So
really?
Speaking of meat market, I went to the every time in the Old Longueuil near the metro, they have like a Christmas
market
or whatever. Yeah. And I went this year, and we bought like so much stuff. We bought like meat pies, we bought sausages, we bought cubes. There's like I have a duck. Duck and I forget what other exotic animal meat pie. It's gonna be like amazing. So my freezer is chock full of eco-responsible, gluten-free, whatever the fuck you want to call it, meat, and I'm super excited to eat those. And that was pretty cool. And for Ali's thing, I'm up to date on The Mandalorian. If on Disney Plus, if ever you're a fan of Star Wars, it's really, really great. I'm glad they're back to the actual main story as of episode 7. Like, I don't know how many episodes they're planning on making.
8.
Yeah, then why...
You got one more.
Why are you making filler episodes in an 8-episode season?
So, I don't think they're filler episodes. There's a lot of stuff you learn in those episodes, but I can see where a lot of people think they're filler, but there's a lot of important things you're learning.
I feel like
his race.
They are trying to like really emulate kind of like the old Western story of the week sort of thing. And I personally really appreciate that. But yeah, I'm actually have not seen the latest episode just yet
because
I was too busy watching the other Star Wars.
I'm only 3 episodes in.
It's like, really good. I mean,
so good.
Pedro Pascal is doing a great job as Mando.
Controversial. I think it's my favorite Star Wars.
Well, I mean, it's...
Because I'm a huge fan of Westerns.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Westerns, so, like, everything about it, I'm like, oh,
I mean,
my God.
We'll wait what the last episode has in store for us. But, yeah, so far, it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. And I usually kind of about Star Wars, but I'm really enjoying the Mandalorian, so it's cool. And we've also started watching the Witcher series.
We're
2-3 episodes in. 2 or 3.
How many are there?
I don't know.
Total?
11?
Okay. No, I got to start that later.
Witcher 3 Netflix episodes. Yeah. And it's really good. I wasn't sure how I would enjoy seeing Superman as Geralt. But he does a really good job, honestly. I'm sold as him being Geralt. Very much so.
Cool.
And
that was my biggest issue too. I was wondering, because he just has like such like that quintessential look to him. Goodness. And yeah, and so I was worried about that, but
yeah, I mean, it's I think that the fact also that they did a lot of promotion with him promoting The Witcher with his knowledge of on The Witcher, like, you know, him reading some passages from the books, him answering questions about Geralt, about potions, about, you know, everything in the world of The Witcher, and that he actually knows this stuff because, like, he's a super nerd apparently. And I also love him even more because one of the he was during an interview, and one of the interviewers said, "So, did you play on Xbox or on PS4?" And he said, "On PC." And I'm like, "Yes, Henry." Thank you, sir.
PC Master Race confirmed.
There you go. I was like, "Yes, favorite Witcher." And nice. Like, you can totally see that he even said in an interview that he got a lot of the voice and the way that he plays Geralt, he got a lot of influence from the video game and the voice actor who does Geralt in the Witcher games, which is fantastic. And even, like, one of the things that I noticed from the first, like, when he grunts, like, like, it's very much like what Geralt in The Witcher 3 does. Like, it's very much the same kind of motherfucker, like, stop doing that, you know? So yeah, I thought so far it's really good, and it's not like Game of Thrones level just yet for season, but so far, like, 2-3 episodes in, and I'm really enjoying it. So if you're a fan of the series, if you're a fan of The Witcher, like, or just a fan of medieval fantasy politics, just it's more of a politics show than really a fantasy show. Like, it's a lot about you know, Cirilla and how she's, you know, whole families getting exploded, and then Nilfgaard invading, and then it's really good. It's really fun.
Well, the games are very much about the politics of the kingdom and how the Witcher's
and the
to
books
stay
as well.
Out.
The books is 100% about politics. So,
I mean, the games, they make it about monster hunting, but as soon as you pay attention to lore in the story, you're just caught. You're just some neutral party caught in the war, basically.
Mm. Speaking of the game, I downloaded it. Popped up on Game Pass. I think, wasn't it supposed to come out like Thursday, and then I ended up seeing it Wednesday night. Like, it was ready to play Wednesday night. I thought it was coming out on the 19th.
I don't know. Maybe that was a bug, because I know it was downloadable as of 24 hours before or 48 hours before.
No, I like had it set to auto download as soon as it was available, and I was like watching YouTube, and it pinged me Wednesday night being like, this is here for you to play now.
So that kind of happens with Game Pass games. Like, it happened with Untitled Goose Game earlier in the week as well. Yeah, like, if you had it, like, set to pre-download, or if you had a direct link to the listing on the store, you could go ahead and download it and play it. So, yeah, that's kind of, that kind of happens.
Is it, like, an early access for people that are happy to play it, or?
I just think they flipped the switch a little early.
Okay.
And if people happen to notice, it's fine, because I mean, it's not like it's a new release, right? Like, it's just becoming available. So I think it's just one of those things, like, oh, it happened, enjoy, you know, sort of deal, which is kind of, it's kind of neat. I wasn't, oh, Jesus Christ, I just got,
what?
Oh my God. Oh, there was shadow. There was a shadow on my closet door, and it freaked me out.
What was it?
My mic arm. Oh my God.
Nice.
Okay, so you've seen the full spectrum of my personality in this podcast.
So far, yeah.
Thirsty,
20 minutes.
Confused, and angry, and scared. those are the four Ali emotions right there.
Permanent emotions that she lives.
Oh my God, Jesus.
What a wild ride today has been.
Jeez. But you know, Leah, I actually started playing The Witcher again on PC. And like,
guys, I hadn't
played
it
before. 20 hours in the first week. It's so good, this game.
Yeah. I've never been able to get further than like 15 hours into the game. And maybe this holiday season will be the time where I finally do that. Mm-hmm. But oh man, like, I'm really enjoying the show so far, even with, because I mean, I do pick up, I am kind of a sponge for video game knowledge that I like pick up osmosis.
I think that's just the nature of what we do too. Do you know what I mean? Like, because we're always watching, listening, seeing, and you just absorb it, right?
Yeah, and so there's definitely things where I'm like, oh, I know who that is, even though I haven't experienced it. Or I know where that is, even though I haven't experienced it. Well, you know, so that's nice. But I can see someone who's never really been into the series. Confusing. Like someone like my mom. Someone like my mom, I think, would be able to watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, it's also the fact, you know, that it's closer to the book than to the books than to the video game. Like they said it, you know, the dude who wrote the books, I can't say his name for save my life, he's Polish. But like he said that he really hates the video games because like they're very different and not at all the vision that he has for the Witcher universe, whereas he was extremely involved in making the Netflix TV series. So like the TV series, it's much closer to in reality what the universe of the Witcher is as opposed to the video games. So
cool.
See, I got 50 hours on the Witcher 3 in Steam.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to, I played last time, like last year. So I think I'm just going to start over on Xbox.
Yeah.
And have Geralt in 4K.
Yeah. That's my,
that's what I'm just picturing in my living room right now.
That's my game plan tomorrow morning when
Ali,
I get out.
Kat, if you want to play on PC, I have like 17 mods installed right now to make your life
so much better. She's coming and playing it on Xbox.
Dude, there's so many
My GPU is still shit.
Doesn't matter. You'll still get to play it. There's
She's one of us now.
So many good mods that you can
Fuck off, Simon!
Oh my god. I'm going to have to separate the parents here because like...
I'm
Mommy, Daddy, stop fighting.
Consoles are fine, but on PC you can mod the game and it looks so
I hate
great.
You'll
mods.
See me
I
in court, Simon!
I played Skyrim vanilla.
Dude, it's so easy. You have a mod manager. You install that and then you choose the mods and it's done. You don't even have to do anything about it. Anyways, sorry.
But I don't want it in 1080p.
It's 4K.
My computer can't push 4K.
Well, then it's 1080p.
But I want it in 4K.
But with 4K textures, it'll look even better.
Oh, my God.
We're done. Sorry.
I think we are done. All right. You guys ready to talk about the year that was 2019?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yay! Let's do this! All right. It's time for our annual year in review, looking back at the year that was 2019. And I got a bunch of different sections of things I want to talk with the team about and ask them to pull all their information and pick their brains in advance so that they were really, really on the ball with what we want to talk about. So much happened in 2019. It was an interesting year, I gotta say, because we're on the precipice of new consoles coming out. So it's been an interesting one. So to start it off, I want to get into the biggest news stories of 2019. Kat, I'm going to throw it to you first. What do you think was one of the biggest news makers of 2019?
I called it, just a throwback to Twisted Sisters, I called it, we're not going to take it anymore.
We're not going to take it.
So because there was a lot, I think it was because of the Me Too movement that continued and that hit the gaming industry. There was the toxic Bureau Club at Riot that was investigated, exposed. It went to court. There were settlements.
Mm-hmm.
Rockstar's crunch culture was brought forward. Telltale imploded because of their crunch culture, and it came forward that they were terrible. And more so, there was also like stories of abusive game dev, of a lot of gaslighting, and not just for sexual reasons, but just like power dynamics, things like that. People burning out because of all these dynamics and this toxicity. So, I mean, it's not the most like uplifting way to end the year, me talking about this, but I think it's important that this year we start talking more and more about it. There's more talks about unionizing to prevent this or to help with this because it's so bad. There was a tweet I saw the other day which I think really sums it up and talks about the industry as a whole right now and why we need to open the floodgates and people need to share. He said something along the lines that, you know, like, I live okay. This dude is rich. This dude is living out of his car and barely making ends meet. And this dude makes twice the money I make, and we're all making the same pixel art roguelike game.
Yeah.
And he said that's what the industry is right now. Mm-hmm. So that's my big take for 2019, where people started talking about their work condition, their salaries, the people they work with, and to see just how stuff was uneven and people were taking advantage of the magic and not well-known industry to take advantage of people. And I mean, it used to be like that in media and movies and things like that, and everybody's unionized for a reason now, so that people have their breaks, have a minimum salary, they're paid for if, you know, you do a voice line, you paid every time the company uses the voice line, no matter the project, things like that. And, you know, it's, we're at the point in the industry where voice talent has better conditions than the people making the games, because they're unionized through ACTRA and, you know, these artists and all that jazz. So that's my big take of 2019.
Honest, so for anyone, anyone looking for that tweet, that's from Fulmer Kelly on Twitter.
Oh, and thank
you. It is
you.
A very good tweet. I saw it too. Sorry, Simon. Just wanted to get in case folks want to go and, you know,
retweet.
Yeah, retweet and see the tweet for themselves.
Like, I was going to say that there's this whole, and I feel like it's not only in the video game industry, but I feel like in working in general, there's just this whole, like, taboo mentality about sharing salary and telling how much you make. Like, and I feel like in video games, like Kat said, it's even worse because there's such a big discrepancy in terms of salary. Whereas if everyone was being honest about what they make, and if all the companies were being honest about, you know, that, and at that position, that's the salary you start at, you know, and that's what it is. It doesn't matter. Then we wouldn't have this conversation, because it would all be clear and it will be like plain and simple for everyone else. But of course, companies don't want to do that because they can lowball you and, you know, that you don't make as much money as the other guy because the other guy knows how to negotiate and he knows what he's worth and you're not. Especially in an industry like the video game industry, where everyone wants to work in the video game industry, where you're going to be like, well, I'm going to take a less salary, but I'm going to work in an awesome industry that I really want to work in. Where, you know, it's, yeah, it's cool, but still, you should be paid the amount of money that you deserve to be paid for the work you're doing, no matter where you're working at. So
I've been speaking with a lot of people that were in indies and things like that, and they became industry adjacent because they wanted to eat and have weekends off.
Yeah, see, like, I want to work in video games, but I want to do IT support in the video game studio. I don't want to actually work on building the video game because I know that that'll never happen. So
It's I bet if we look back at all the episodes we did this year too, it'd be really interesting to see how many of those episodes actually we had new stories that related to these things. I feel like it came to a head this year. And what's interesting too is that I think it's also part of the growth of this industry as well, because we I think we've hit a point now where video games makes more money than any of the other medias. Movies, TVs, yada yada yada. So I think we've just come to a precipice now that it's trying to equal out, just like the other industries have gone through this too. It just it's so much more public and probably going to move faster because of that, because of the internet, because of the way we can talk about it and like anybody can pass comment, and the fact that the information can get out there faster. But I do think with great power comes great responsibility, because we've also encountered some stories this year that were super sad when things came out about people saying things like about instances that they've encountered trying to get the noise out, the word out there that something happened to them, and then people you know,
getting
attacked by the mob of the internet, mental illness, you know, like having conversations about that, and there was one suicide. So like, you know, it's definitely a big topic, and it's all coming to a head at once, and it's interesting to see kind of like how this is all going to evolve into, now that we're running into a new decade, how this is going to change for this industry.
Good story.
Yes, indeed.
Good choice, Kat.
Allie, how about you? What do you think was the biggest news story of 2019?
Okay, well, mine does not feel very important. I was a little bit. Okay, so you guys are going to notice these next two episodes have been tough for me. have been really tough for me. So I kind of just picked a news story that was big for me, and that was kind of the trend through my choices for this episode. But yeah, for me, it was the official announcement of, you know, Xbox Scarlett at E3.
Mm-hmm. That was a big announcement. That was a big news story.
You know, that's the thing that you guys know my place in the gaming sphere has been kind of firmly rooted in Xbox for many years now. Mm-hmm. And so when big things like that happen within the company, mm-hmm. That's like huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing, because that's going to alter, you know, my space.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that was the biggest announcement for me. That was like, you know, it was exciting.
Allie, I feel like it's even more relevant, not only for your space, but for gaming in general, with how Microsoft is approaching this new console generation. Like, I feel like that's going to be the future for every other console generation. So they kind of opened up the way for what the future of gaming is going to be. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think you're right. I would be remiss to not really mention how many other things are orbiting mm-hmm. that announcement. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I do touch on it a little bit later on in one of our other topics, but mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, that they're definitely shaking up the way that
things have been made
and how people are playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just it's indicative of larger changes we're gonna see mm-hmm. going forward. And yeah, so I think, you know,
it's a good news story.
There's a storm a coming.
Yeah. Just because we said the biggest news story.
My bones are aching, Annie.
It did.
There's a storm a coming.
Just because this is like, you know, like news stories, they don't always have to be bad. Like, positive news stories are important too, right?
Yeah,
that we're
not
always
for sure.
dwelling on the unfortunate, you know? So like, it's great, and it is a lot of fun coming into a new console cycle. Like, I feel super excited about mm-hmm. the industry and where we're going. Yeah, there's going to be bumps in the road, but like, it's a good time to be a gamer.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. It's like it is ringing in a new generation.
Totally.
In short. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Simon? What do you got?
I'm going back to sad news. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, not sad, but controversial news. To me, it was the whole Blizzard, Hearthstone, China debacle. We you know, for those who lived under a rock, I guess, for the past year, Blizzard got a lot of flack for removing a Grandmaster title and removing prize pool for a Hearthstone player, which is a Grandmaster is pretty much like the highest you can be. And because he supported the protests in China and everything that's happening in China. And Blizzard just could not have handled it worse than what they did by removing everything and then just going completely silent for a week and a half. And that's all everyone was talking about for that week and a half. And mm-hmm. they tried to redeem themselves during BlizzCon, and it didn't really sound honest for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first thing about Blizzard. And the second thing about Blizzard that happened at the same time, massive layoffs amidst a record profit year. So
yeah.
that was also something that you're like, excuse me?
Gotta love that late stage capitalism.
Yep.
Like, record profit year, but let's put 200 people out of a job because, you know, our profit margins weren't high enough. So yeah, Blizzard is my horrible news story for 2019.
And I think that's a good example too of like where one story is indicative of a more nuanced and larger problem in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to see too, because when all that stuff came out about the Hearthstone tournament and everything, and you know, we were seeing echoes of this in other industries as well, the NBA, mm-hmm. and then just realizing how much China is part of
involved in everything we
our
do.
Ecosystem yeah. of video games right now, and just everything, media, the whole shoot and match. So yeah, I think it's stuff that it just opened our eyes to things that we didn't know of before too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, like with anything else, we haven't heard about it for the last 2-3 months because it just kind of faded away. But they're still there, you know. They're still doing the same thing, and it's still the same thing happening. But just people stop talking about it.
Yeah, I watch Phil DeFranco every day, and he still every so often has a news story in there thrown in with impeachment and whatever else.
Oh God. Let's not talk about that. This is a video game podcast.
All right.
Also Canadians.
Yes. Exactly. All right. So my news story is a different one because it's you know, we heard a lot this year of companies gobbling up other developers. You know, Xbox acquired a whole bunch of people, and usually it's the positive, right? They come in and that means more funds, more stability, you know. Sometimes weird things happen where, you know, they don't have as much control over the games they make anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, we can look at the EA graveyard in the background there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But one thing that happened this year that I think kind of caught us all off guard was there was the split between Activision and Bungie.
Yeah, which is great news.
You know, ended up working well, I want to say. You know, back a few years ago, Activision did acquire Bungie, and during the beginning of Destiny and everything, and then Destiny 1 came out, Destiny 2 came out. It did feel like there was some, you know, controversy between what Activision, how they thought this should be run, and how Bungie thought it should be run. Mm-hmm. And then post divide, it actually seemed like it worked out better for the gamers because the customer service and stuff of Bungie got better. They started to do stuff that it looked like the fans were more interested in.
Like they won community contact or whatever they were at the Game Awards. So that's
exactly. So I think that there you know was definitely something interesting here because like. When you hear of a split like that, it often sounds pretty bad, right? And you're like, oh God, what are they going to do now? They don't have that Activision money. But like the Bungie team knew what they were doing and they knew that this was in their best interest. And yeah, it seems like it was kind of worked out well, which is, you know, often, you know, you hear this and you're like, oh, is Bungie going to go belly up?
No, but they have such a talent and so many creative people and so many smart people working there that it was definitely a good long-term move for them because then they can actually focus on making games and making fun games rather than how can we monetize this game?
Yeah, and I mean, they were able to do stuff like the cross-platform save stuff, you know, like I mentioned, the customer service, you know.
Now they're on Steam, which
is
great. Yeah,
well, yes, they're not tied to Battle.net anymore. They can do what they want.
They have a free-to-play version of the game as well, so.
Yeah. I mean, we know that, too, last year, Bungie did get $100 million from the NetEase from China. So I imagine that helped kind of cushion the blow and stuff. And it means that they're working on some more stuff. They are working on other projects besides Destiny now. And maybe there's one particular for China. But, yeah, it's – I don't know. I think this was one of those stories where it's like, yeah, there is life after merger if you decide to have a split.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great news for gamers and Destiny fans and Bungie fans.
All right, next round of questions for you guys. This one, I want to get the sad ones out of the way first. Is that okay? Or the wah-wah ones. Sure. So biggest disappointments of 2019. Catherine, throw to you first.
BioWare.
Yeah.
I'm sad to say that it was not BioWare's year.
No.
It's not going to be BioWare's year next year either. I mean, just the fact that they had such a talent exodus after Dragon Age Inquisition because it relied on the BioWare magic and people were like, I'm done with Crunch and I'm done with this.
Yeah, BioWare magic.
I wouldn't call it magic. I think that's real tainted. Super tainted.
And they like, out of the shit show that was the Dragon Age Inquisition production, they were thrown into the bigger shit show that was Anthem. And Anthem.
And Andromeda.
Oh, yeah, coming out of Andromeda, then Anthem. And Anthem did not do well.
And there was, like, stories of such ego struggles from the original BioWare staff that was pre-EA. Mm-hmm. And then not wanting to share the glory with Austin, not wanting to share the glory with Montreal. Montreal BioWare folded after this shit because EA was like, okay, whatever, we're just going to take the people, put them in EA Motive and like just rebrand the studio because this is shitty. Mm-hmm. So And all of this makes me really scared for the future of Dragon Age. Mm-hmm. Honestly, mm-hmm. like, I think they need a whole attitude and culture change.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they have bad culture and good products anymore. Yeah.
There was a fantastic article written by Jason Schreier on Kotaku that when it came out about like the process of Anthem and all the shit that went down, mm-hmm. I actually shared it a lot with my colleagues, though we do not work in the video game industry, being radio, being digital radio. I was like, there are some things, some learnings here, some key things that, you know, doesn't matter what industry you're in, especially if you're dealing with tech, you need to listen to this. Like, there are definitely some takeaways that everybody should look towards. But yeah, what a oof. You know, going from Anthem was like the thing that everybody was like freaking out over, and then it just came with this pop and then fizzled out. So yeah. It's really sad.
I mean, I read a rumor that they are going to go the Final Fantasy 14 way and just redo the game completely, pretty much from the ground up. Like, you know, they're going to keep the assets and everything, but they're just going to, like, relaunch the game with a 2.0 version where they're just, like, rebuild everything pretty much, like, the main story or whatever from the ground up. So I don't know if that's actually true, but that's a rumor that I saw on the internet a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that would, like, if they manage to pull that off, that would be smart because, you know, Realm Reborn is the best MMO out there, definitely, and they keep winning awards, so... If they manage to pull that off, then that could maybe be a little saving grace for them. But
mm-hmm.
we'll see what happens. And mm-hmm. they announced a new Dragon Age for sure. So another one's coming. So, but I guess no one's really excited about that because we're like, well, not exactly the greatest track record so far. So
mm-hmm. I'm excited about it, but I'm gonna have to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, just the little tease that they gave us last year about how it's going to be the continuation of the Dreadwolf, which is how Dragon Age Inquisition ends. Well, especially the DLC, mm-hmm. where there's the big reveal and everything. So mm-hmm. where they were like, yeah, we're, you know, going.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, this is happening. I was like, yes, but they could fuck it up.
Oh, they definitely could.
Which leads to my biggest disappointment of the year.
People fucking it up.
The fact that there was no Dragon Age announcement.
Yeah.
I think that was safe. I think they might have had an announcement, but then they pulled back after everything else that they needed. They needed to, like, let things settle.
I don't know. I mean, they were...
They needed to win.
They were hinting really heavily.
Yeah.
For, you know, around the Dragon Age Day celebration and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of stopped. And who knows, maybe that is a case of they were like, you know what? We're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to not do it. And maybe. that's that kind of leads into, you know, Catherine, what you were saying, that's kind of scary. That's kind of really scary. Well, so
I don't see it as scary. I see it as... They're not ready to show it because they don't feel confident. So they're
sorry. Let me rephrase. If they decided to pull it for the reasons you guys were just discussing, then that's scary.
Yeah.
If it just wasn't, you know, if it just isn't in a stage of production where they feel comfortable, you know, coming forward and presenting it right now, because there's so much work left to do, mm-hmm. or changes to be made, things like that, then that's completely understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's being held back because of the turmoil that's currently, you know, roiling, then that's what's scary. But yeah, that was a disappointment to me. I was definitely expecting a little bit of something for Dragon Age, especially because I loved my time with Inquisition last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a bummer. That was my bummer of this year.
Hmm.
Once again, I kept things pretty light and positive in my choices.
I went like, all I out. Have
life
I
have has been a little bit heavy spit. For me lately, so I didn't want to delve into
too much all depression.
all of the negative stuff that has been coming across my Twitter feed over the last year, you know. Just wouldn't have been healthy for me, so.
Yeah. I know, it's funny, because when we're doing this, too, there's so many things that I could have brought up, and I'm like, but I don't want to talk about that. I'm like, that's too sad. That's just going to put me in a shitty mood. I don't want to
I'm just
talk
picking
about that.
At the scab all podcast long.
Yeah, Catherine. Catherine, leave it to Catherine. Yeah. Simon, how about you? What was your disappointment this year?
Well, mine is esports-centric, so if you are a fan of esports, specifically, I guess CSGO and Rainbow Six, Cloud9 this year. After winning the major at Boston, everything kind of like fell off, and then nothing else happened. And then roster change after roster change after roster change. And Cloud9 is my favorite brand and in esports, well, brand/team. And incredibly disappointed that they were not able to bring back another competitive team in CSGO North America and in Rainbow Six. Like they have a team in Pro League in Asia, but like that's it. You know, Cloud9 is such a North American and a little bit European, but like specifically North American brand that. Like buying out an Asian, or I think it's Korean, Rainbow Six roster, where there's so many decent, very good North American teams, was also kind of a disappointment. So just Cloud9 in general, very disappointed. It made me not buy the hoodie this year, even though it looks really good. So, so yeah, that's my disappointment. And esports fan out there will know what I'm talking about.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough when you. It's almost like those years, those building years too, you know, that it's always hard being a fan of your favorite team during those years. You just got to kind of push through, you know, it's part of the commitment to
and
any type of sport.
I still hope that in 2020, you know, they're supposed to announce a new roster for CSGO pretty soon. So I'm still, you know, hoping that 2020 does good. But at this point, it's just not, they're focusing on Overwatch, which, you know, they won the Spitfire one. So. Cool, they're gonna focus on that, but I don't know, it's not even their brand, it's a London Spitfire, it's not even Cloud9. So anyways,
My disappointment of 2019 has to be Stadia. Guys, I think Stadia did absolutely everything wrong after that announcement. To the point where the announcement, they came out and they toyed at all these different things, all these amazing things that I was like, yeah, that'd be nice, it'd be cool. And I was like, I was going to be possibly positively optimistic about it. And then it just seemed like every few weeks we got another wah, wah, to the point where the launch didn't go great. They couldn't fulfill their orders in time for launch. They had a pretty terrible lineup. Now, mind you, I think if they had had Doom, I mean, they couldn't do much about Doom Eternal not being there. That's all you can do. I think that was going to be their ace in the hole. But, you know, that's one type of game. And obviously, you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket because it'll screw you up. And that's what happened there. And then post-launch, guys, I don't know if you guys have been encountering as many YouTube ads as I have for Stadia, but I feel like they're back in 2009 trying to advertise, and I swear to God, it has the worst, most shitty example of a gamer I've ever seen. I have not seen one woman in any of these ads, not one, and they're all like these old men in their 40s, like being like, gaming is awesome. And I'm like, that's not what it is anymore, people. Get your head out of your asses. So I'm super disappointed in Stadia this year. I it's not to say that the technology won't work. I think that's the thing that pisses me off the most, is because they were out first, because they made this big kerfuffle about it all. They didn't do it in early access. They did it this way that they actually made it harder for the good services that are going to come later. Because I think xCloud has it down. I think they're doing it properly. And it just ticks me off that Google thinks that they can come in and be cocky and then fuck it up for everybody else.
As as Tracy Jordan from 30 Rock would say, I hate to say I told you so, so welcome to Miami.
There you go. It's true. And it's sad because, like, you really do want to be positive. They build up the hype so much for this stuff. And, like, I'm sure in a few years it's going to be what they said it was going to be.
If it's still going.
If they
That's another
going,
thing,
yeah.
too, if it's still going. It's but, not, like, it just sucks that it ruins it for everybody else.
Leah, I have to agree with you. I think that my biggest issue with Stadia this year was the messaging.
Yeah.
And just how cocky they were, even though everything was falling down around them.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so off-putting. I mean, they had a lot of commercials during the Game Awards, too. And every time one of them came on, I was like, can you not?
Which is a shame, because like, Reggie Watts is really funny.
so very cringy. Yeah. Oh, so, they felt, 2009.
Yeah, they felt just so out of tune with the reality of the situation, and it was I hate saying that, but yeah, it was cringy.
Like, it was the epitome of that "hello fellow kids" meme. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like they came in and they thought they knew what they were at, but they didn't have anybody. I'm sure the games, once they build them, are going to be great. I'm sure the services is going to be great once they give it some life, but to put it out the way they did it felt so
well. Eons they've lost a large chunk of the community's trust.
Big
right
time.
Off the bat.
Big time.
Right off the bat. And because they are not dominating the space,
mm-hmm.
they are going, that's going to bite them in the ass.
Totally.
The way that I see Stadia, it's a product made for non-gamers,
mm-hmm.
advertised at gamers.
No. I don't even think it's advertised at gamers. I think they're advertising at the stereotypical gamer from, like, the early 2000s. I don't think they know what a gamer is now. That's what disappoints me more than anything else, because it's Google, and they have all the trends. They know all these things. They have more intelligence than anybody, yet they can't figure out how to market to people properly, and I think that's absolutely sad, and I think they, like I said, I think they put this backwards for all the companies that are actually doing it right. It's disappointing. All right, I'm going to get positive. It's time to get positive. Are you guys ready to get positive?
Yes!
All right! Yeah! Let's talk about the biggest surprises. Kat, what happy surprise did you see in 2019 that you were super stoked about?
Yeah, so I didn't see it coming, but maybe I should have. Yes, if you hear purring in my mic right now, my cat is all over me for some reason.
I just saw ears pop up in your webcam. Like,
yeah, my biggest surprise was Overwatch 2.
I know, that's a big one.
Yeah, and it's not just the fact that they announced it, it's also the fact that the kind of content that they're bringing to Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the PvE modes and everything, and the fact that they're going to still keep feeding Overwatch 1. So anybody that's purchased Overwatch will get all the PvP content, still get the new characters, the new map, the new PvP mode.
Mm-hmm.
And people that upgrade to Overwatch 2 will get the PvE mode. So for me, I was just seeing that, and it was not what I was expecting.
It's literally an expansion. That's what it is. Overwatch 2, but it's an expansion.
It really feels like an expansion.
It's an expansion with content that they had that is completely different from what mm-hmm. the game has been known for.
Yep.
So
it feels like Brood War. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like, it feels like Brood War is a Stardock.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But no, that was my my biggest surprise. I'm probably going to buy that game, especially for the PvE content.
Cool.
But yeah, that floored me. That floored me. Like, when I saw what was being leaked, I did not expect for it to be that.
Cool. Mm, true. Allie, how about you? What was your biggest surprise of the year?
My biggest surprise was, once again, Xbox related, but it was the reveal of the Xbox Series X mm-hmm. at the Game Awards.
How cool was that? Did you like sit there and were like, oh my God, are they really doing this? Is this
real
life?
I freaked out. Well, because it was like, you know, the trailer started rolling and I was like, what is this? Wait, what is this? Wait, what is this? And then it happened and I was like, oh my God, they did that! And so in the show notes, I have a tweet from Jeff Keighley, and the tweet is him saying, one of the ways that we kept the Xbox Series X a surprise was that in rehearsals, Phil Spencer actually read a fake script about Game Pass. The first time he mentioned the Series X was during the live show.
Really?
So Jeff was aware, and obviously some producers and showrunners were obviously aware, but the rest of the team that was working on the show had no idea. They thought it was going to be a Game Pass pitch, and then it wasn't, which I thought was super cool.
Very cool.
I thought that was absolutely super cool. Yeah. I was super surprised, and you know, I spoke about the stats last episode, and so mm-hmm. this paid off. This paid mm-hmm. off big time for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they were announcing an Xbox at a non-Xbox-centric event, reaching so many more gamers at one moment, one live moment, than they would have. Because, you know, people who don't necessarily play on Xbox but are still interested in the news are going to wait till the next day.
Yeah.
To follow up on the biggest news stories that come out of a brand-centric event. They're not watching that brand-centric event live necessarily. And so for them to just do this and that, like, just drop it like that, I thought that was super cool. And yeah, that was a big surprise for me. I did not see it coming, and I was pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did, because everybody anticipated that they were going to do their own thing and have their own moment. But I think this actually took over that entire show.
Yeah, I think it did. And I think also, too, it bodes well for whatever, you know, whatever their own event coming up is next. Or coming up next is, English. Because, I mean, if that's not what they're going to be leading their show with, what else do they have in store for us?
That's true.
Game reveals.
Interesting.
And they acquired so many companies, and we got to see that Hellblade 2, and damn, I still have emotions from that trailer.
No, it's pretty cool. So they add that. Yep.
Simon, how about you? Biggest surprise of 2019?
Two for me, real quick.
But I like
both
two.
Games. Both games. Yeah. So it's cool. First one was Breath of the Wild 2, or whatever they're calling it. I was like, they took so long in releasing Breath of the Wild that I'm like, it's going to be like 25 years before they get another Zelda in. And then they're like, nope, year and a half later, here it's going to happen. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'm looking forward to playing that game. And the other one was Half-Life Alyx. I personally, for sure, thought the Half-Life franchise was dead. Like, legit thought that we would never see another Half-Life game happen. And just the fact that they announced that and were, like, just dropping it out of nowhere. Like, yep, new Half-Life game coming. Let's call this. This is the setting. It's going to be VR. Excuse me? Like, that was so out of left field for me that it just blew my mind. So.
And seriously, that announcement, I'm in a Ubisoft Montreal Discord server. For 2 days, people were discussing VR headsets to play Half-Life Alyx.
I'm thinking very hard about getting one, but I'm like, this is so expensive. So I'm going to wait a little bit to see what's going on. But yeah, I'm very tempted to get a VR headset now.
Yeah, and I think it's almost prime time for them to do this, because I think we're hitting that precipice now for headsets for VR, where they are going to start dropping in price a lot, because a lot of people, like, there's a lot of them out there, and now the technology is getting better and better in that, you know, you can wear them without, you know, that, what is the Oculus Go? I think it is the one that's wireless. The PSVR is cheap, and they're not going to modify that. They said until, I guess, after, like, this is going to work on the next PlayStation, PS5. Yep. So yeah, I think they're hitting at the right moment. We need that, you know, console
it was,
killer kind of style game, you know, like, meaning everybody needs to try VR.
And good on Valve to adding a lot of headset support.
Oh yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And just like Valve in general this year, they've been super active on social media now, way more before than they've ever been. A lot more active in all their titles. You know, Dota was getting a lot of love, but CSGO was not getting a lot of love. But now this year, they stepped up their social media game. They're doing updates. They're checking with the community. So I don't know what's happening at Valve. I don't know what Gabe is doing, but apparently he finally got the memo that he needs to do something different, and people are just going to take Valve's name as face value. Like, they actually want them to deliver good product and be ready to give what people want. So
it's going to be an interesting year coming up.
Yep.
My biggest surprise, and it's funny because I, you know, when writing these, thinking about how a game should be launched and like the different ways to go about it to make sure it's accurate. Guys, Apex Legends coming out was so crazy.
I
loved how they did the launch of that, how it was so secretive. Nobody knew that was coming. It took such a chunk out of Fortnite. And I mean, like, I'm not a battle royale player at all. I'm not a first person shooter player, but I love watching the evolution of these stories and kind of like how these games come and go and you know, how they're marketed and things like that. I find it absolutely fascinating, the story behind the games. And just this one's so crazy. Like, And then hearing the tales, especially bringing up what Kat was talking about earlier with crunch culture and stuff, and how they didn't want to perpetuate the crunch culture. Respawn's doing some pretty fabulous stuff, and, you know, having EA not come in and step on their heels and tell them, no, you have to do it another way.
Yeah.
It's just... yeah, that game just keeps growing and growing. It's free. You know, the folks are enjoying it. It has found its dedicated fan base. And mm-hmm. I just found it fascinating that that game kind of came out of nowhere and caught us all off guard.
Fun fact.
Hmm.
This is also a Game Awards fun fact related to Apex Legends this time. But we did have that little visit from Mirage
mm-hmm.
during the awards. And as I was watching it, I just kept thinking, oh, my God. This timing is perfect. What is happening? Why does this look and sound so good? And you know how that happened? Well, the actor who plays Mirage, Roger Craig Smith, was actually appearing and interacting with Jeff Keighley live.
Oh. So that was in pre-recorded
technology. Wow. That was pre-recorded.
Wow.
In a studio next door to the Microsoft Theater. Smith was actually in
that
his full motion capture getup, and they were doing that live.
Wow.
Is that not the coolest thing ever?
That is very crazy.
That made it even better because I actually thought, I was like, wow, they are this really well planned, and Jeff is not screwing this up.
It was blowing my mind as I was watching it. I was like, how are they doing this? The timing is too perfect. This doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Everything that I know about production is wrong. What is happening? And
wow.
I was freaking out. And then that was announced.
That
like they kind of unveiled that, which I thought was super cool. And such a power move too, to like bring the actor, bring all your your tech hands and stuff like that, and just bring them and do that at the show.
That's awesome.
But Leah, fantastic. I do want to mention, I do want to touch on something that you said that, you know, we've seen a lot of free-to-play battle royale. Oh, thank you,
Penny.
Hi, Penny.
For your input on the subject. I appreciate it. Very insightful.
She's into battle royale.
Oh my God. But yeah, we've seen, sorry about that.
That's okay.
But, you know, we have seen a lot of games pop up and trying to rival Fortnite. And I think that we've also seen a lot fall.
Yeah.
You know, if you can still have an active player base and an active presence on streaming and YouTube, the streaming sites and YouTube, after 3 months, you know, that's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And Apex Legends has definitely achieved that.
Well, you know, thing is, Fortnite is the Minecraft of VR, so it's always going to be there, and it's always going to be tons of kids playing it just because of how it's presented and how it's done. But I feel like people who actually want to compete and be like good and like or older in age, I feel like Apex is probably the game for them.
I definitely think that Apex appeals to an older crowd. I would love to see their like kind of their community breakdown and things like that because that would be extremely interesting to me. But yeah, I think that you know, there was a while where it was like, is it going to make it? You know what I mean? Like when they first announced it, it's like, okay, cool. This is awesome, but you got to bring it. And they brought it.
Yeah.
And they I feel like they might have drained PUBG more than they drained
Fortnite. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
PUBG's dead.
I think you're right. It's not, I wouldn't say dead, but I do think it's not in the ethos as much as the other games are right now. When you look at, you know, what's topical, even when YouTube dropped their you know, weird rewind this year, I don't remember seeing PUBG listed. And
the only reason I even think about PUBG is because Jenna Marbles and Julian Solomita sometimes stream it.
Okay.
Or not even sometimes. They stream it frequently. But that's it's literally the only reason it crosses my mind.
So true.
Yeah, it's... I think, you know, we could have an entire episode on PUBG, but I think the biggest thing that's they've kind of cut their own hamstrings with is the fact that it's so out of date everywhere except for PC.
Yeah.
And, you know. But yeah, no. GG, Apex Legends. GG.
GG. Overarching trends of 2019. Those themes that kind of rolled us through the year. Catherine.
Subscription overload.
So true.
Apple Arcade, Uplay Plus, Game Pass, Stadia. They added Disney Plus. NBC's making their own. It's like cord cutting. It saved us money, right?
Nope. Now I have all the subscriptions, and you can't let one lax because then you'll lose your games and your accesses. Oh, good.
Yes, I mean, I think every publisher either came out with their own subscription service or partnered with another subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point where Game Pass gave me a free month of EA Access. So subscription
really?
Services are hyping each other up.
Huh.
Yeah. Game Pass is like, we don't have EA, but if you'd like to try it, have a month free and maybe you'd like to give money to our friends too. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So yeah, subservices.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Game Pass still the best one, though.
So crazy. It feels like it was the year of like the game companies coming together and like shaking hands and being like, let's be friends now instead of enemies or frenemies.
Yeah.
You know?
You want to keep making money? Let's talk.
Yeah.
Basically.
I think it's the end of the walled garden to a certain extent. Yeah. Allie, what do you think was your top overarching trend of 2019?
Well, mine kind of ties in with Catherine's. Mine was Game Pass.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the amount of times that we saw a game announcement that was paired with the Game Pass logo
mm-hmm.
was absolutely mind-blowing. And I mean, that's not just at, you know, Xbox events and whatnot, but outside of that, it was just everywhere. It was everywhere. Games that you never thought that you'd see. And I don't like, it's like the weirdest thing is like, I refer to like the games that I get in Game Pass as free. But
they're
I am
not.
Paying they're not, but I'm paying a dollar. You know what I mean? I'm paying a dollar. And like these games that are just, I feel as though I'm getting them for free.
Yeah.
I feel as though I'm getting them for, I'm getting so much bang for my buck, literally,
mm-hmm.
that it's kind of mind blowing. But yeah, I think that going, I think that the big trend this year was not necessarily games launching into subscription services, because a lot of other subscription services, they kind of have a delay on rolling titles out to their services, you know what I mean? Like EA
right.
Access, it's not necessarily all the new games as they come out. It's titles that have aged a little bit
mm-hmm.
and then they become available.
Yeah.
Whereas Game Pass, things are launching directly into Game Pass.
Yeah. Well, at least for Microsoft.
Like straight
games.
Out of the womb.
Yeah.
Pardon
I do.
Cat?
At least for Microsoft games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this too is like, it's a blessing and a curse for your gaming backlog, because mm-hmm. We're at a point now that, you know, games from 10 years ago don't always look like we're okay with them being games from 10 years ago. Like they're not that, they don't seem that awkward to play because we've kind of hit like a niche that's pretty solid in making a lot of these things and playing them. And now you just go in and I'm like, ooh, what do I feel like playing today? And like, I'm excited about what's releasing, but I'm also just excited about exploring and being like discovery. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm
mm-hmm.
much more open to trying something new because I can just download it on Game Pass.
Well, it's like, I wrote that editorial piece about how Game Pass has made me a better gamer
mm-hmm.
because I don't feel as though I need to stay within what I'm comfortable with because of the price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, each game that you buy
yeah.
is an investment.
It's like $80
70,
for a game you're not going to like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's $70 or $80, 60, ranging from $60 to $80.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge investment.
Yeah.
It was like I bought Fire Emblem Three Houses and it wasn't a good fit for me. And then I had to find a way to offload this game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if that had been available on Xbox Game Pass, I could have just been like, okay, and uninstalled it.
Good news is Nintendo Switch games never go down in price, so you can resell
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did get $40 for
it. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Because you paid
but
15
either way.
US or 16.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm not quite sure. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it was fine. Somebody offered me $12 for it, and I told him he could shove it. But yeah, no, it's...
I'll give you $10 and a box of twigs.
I think that there's so many machinations behind Xbox Game Pass from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. And they're really hitting all the right notes. But yeah, I think that going forward, we're only going to see that stamp, that literal like Game Pass branding, yeah, mm-hmm, on things more and more often. But yeah, that was definitely something I noticed in 2020.
One of my favorite memes.
Or in 2019, everywhere I looked, it was there.
One of my favorite memes from 2019 is the one Ali shared of me and her bonding over the release, yeah, of Outer Worlds on day one on Game Pass on PC, yeah, and on Xbox with the Paul Rudd Hot Ones thing.
Yeah. Hey, hey, look at us.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. How about you, Simon? What do you think is your major overarching trend of the year?
I didn't run anything because you guys pretty much nailed it on the head. Subscription services is kind of what, mm-hmm, you know, now it's the mainstream, you know, and now it's the way to game subscription services. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm fine with that. You know, I pay $1 a month for Game Pass on PC, which is just stupid. And I feel like, yeah, that's definitely the future of gaming is there. It's going to be less about how they distribute the product, but more about what the game is. And, you know, like Ali said, if you don't like the game, just freaking uninstall it and play another game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. So I think that freedom is just going to be the future. And that's what stood out to me in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Leads well into mine because, you know, I already talked about this before, but cloud gaming, guys, like, yep, it's the future. Same and thing. The subscription services are just going, mm-hmm, to lead so well into that because your catalog is digital. And I you know, it's funny, I feel like I have boxes here sitting next to me of games, physical games, old consoles and stuff from when I was moving, and I'm like, what do I do with this stuff? Mm-hmm. What do I do with it? And now when I go onto my Xbox, doesn't matter if it's the one in the living room, one in the back room, one at my office, it's I always have access to all my games. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to get crazier once we're able to play them anywhere, all the time, anytime. So I do think that cloud gaming, even though Stadia kind of put their foot in their mouth, is the future. I do think we're going to see more and more of it. It definitely brings up questions when it comes to preservation of games and things like that, and what you own and what you're paying for. But it's definitely the next evolution. I think we're hitting a peak with graphics. Well, so I do think that this is the next evolution.
You know what's coming up, what's coming back in the tech industry? It's flip phones.
It's so
more
true.
More and more it's coming. So now you're going to have like a flip phone where you're going to be able to, the top screen is going to be your game and the bottom screen is going to be your controls. And bam, mm-hmm, there you go.
Yeah.
Play anywhere, any game you want.
So it's going to be crazy.
There you go. It's coming. Telling you, 5 years, it's going to be standard flip phones.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's coming back. Time to look forward into 2020, you know, on the precipice of a new console cycle. And I think that's Catherine's major thing that she's looking forward to.
Yes, because GPUs are still too expensive.
You gotta thank NVIDIA for that.
Yeah, like, the price of the GPU I want is like pre-ordering the PS5 and the Xbox Series X.
Together?
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm gonna keep gaming on console. I was slowly moving to PC because it was more convenient. It was better in so many things, and then GPUs triple in price, and I was like, okay. Mm-hmm.
And now cloud, you can just play your games anywhere you want, so.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to the new console generation mostly because SSDs and 4K, and I have a 4K TV, so. And Game Pass, honestly, like, took me over to the Xbox side. My plan is to pre-order the Xbox because MLB The Show is going to be multi-platform now. And my boyfriend only plays sports games on console. So I was, mm-hmm, like, do you care if you play NHL and MLB The Show on Xbox or PlayStation? He's like, not really. So I think we're going to pre-order the Xbox, and then the PS5 I'm going to order whenever I feel like playing Horizon Zero Dawn 2, whenever that comes out. So that's what I'm looking forward to in 2020, is a shiny new Xbox.
Shiny and sparkly with that glowing light on the top.
Yes.
How about you, Ali? What are you looking forward to in 2020?
I'm looking forward to xCloud.
Now, yeah. Ellie, have you been testing it? Because I know it's available in the U.S. and on Android, I think, devices.
Yeah.
Have you been able to test it?
Yeah, my husband has an Android.
Oh, convenient.
So, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, for me, that technology presented by literally any company is not the future of my gaming. But it is a neat option to have. You know, that's like kind of the best way to put it. Is it something that I'm going to rely on solely? No. Is that going to be... Is that going to replace what I currently do? No. Mm-hmm. But am I glad to have it? Totally. And yes, I'm just looking forward to, you know, more announcements pertaining to xCloud. You know, I'd love to have an iOS beta eventually, hopefully. But, I mean, we all know that the flighting with iOS is funky and weird. I'm looking forward to it.
I learned that to make iOS apps, you absolutely need to code them on a Mac. So that might be an issue for Windows, Microsoft.
They could just go buy one.
Yeah, I think they could afford one.
Yeah, I mean, not sure. Xbox, the Game Pass app, and the Xbox app are available on iOS. So like, you gotta go where the people are. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
How about you, Simon? What are you looking forward to next year?
VR is back. So we talked about it. And with the announcement of Half-Life Alyx, it's been already so many VR headsets are sold out everywhere just because people want to play the new Half-Life game. And I'm probably going to be one of the persons who plays the new Half-Life game at one point. So, yeah, VR is back. And with technology now that has evolved for so long and with, you know, prices going down, I feel like we actually might be seeing the new official golden age of VR coming next year. So,
awesome.
Yep, should be fun.
Yeah, I know Kat's excited about new console gen, but, like, that's so far away. Like, that's, like, 365-plus days away from where we are right now. But the beginning of next year is loaded with games. Mm-hmm. And, guys, it's going to be some of the best gaming we'll see. In, you know, like, the end of a console cycle is when everybody really understands how these things work and knows how to push it to the limits. Seeing the beginning of a console cycle is interesting because you get to see some of the like bells and whistles that they put in there. But I feel like the developers don't have the full, they don't know everything. The things, the little tweaks they can do, the special stuff that they can do to really get and maximize the most out of those consoles. And like the games that we've got coming, like Cyberpunk, Watch Dogs Legion, Last of Us 2, Animal Crossing, like all in the first half of the year. It's a freaking loaded first half of the year, and we've got a ton of games on the backlog to play. So, man, we're going to be busy. So busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good time to be a gamer. And with that, that closes out this episode number 238 of the Girls on Games podcast. But of course, before I let you go, I want to invite you, if you want to go and check out the show notes, Catherine always puts those together on the website. That'll include, you know, like the links to the tweets they were talking about and stuff like that. So go check that out on girlsongames.ca. Also, if you listen to the show and you love it and you feel like you want to give us a little props, please do go rate and review this podcast wherever you're listening to it. It does really help discovery. We much appreciate that. Thank you to all those people. And I'm still seeing them. They're doing their Spotify Wrapped, and they're posting that Girls on Games was one of their top podcasts listened to. Mucho gracias for that. And I want to thank the crew for being on the show with me this week. Give them a chance to shout out their social media so you can follow them and see what they're going to be gaming over the holiday break. Catherine, how can people track you down?
I am CSDESBIENS on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be posting mostly food photos. No regrets.
None. Allie, where can people follow you?
I'm 8-Bit Blonde everywhere on the internet, including Xbox Live and Mixer and Twitter.
And Simon!
Yeah, don't follow me. Follow, go on Twitter and on Instagram, follow Great Grams of Gary, which yes. is a cat who does hiking and he has little goggles and he's amazing.
Okay.
So go follow Gary on Instagram.
I love that. And I'm Leah Jew, our most social media platforms. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down on Twitter and Facebook at The Girls on Games. We're also on Instagram, just Girls on Games, no thought in there. We have a wonderful Discord channel where you can come and chat and talk about video games, discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, if you want to know anything at all, you can track it down at our home base. That is our website, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Simon. I'm sure it's been a lovely week in video gaming, but this is coming out at a weird time because we're pre-recording stuff because holidays, so I hope you're enjoying your holiday gaming, and we'll talk more next week. Bye!